Hello and welcome to another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Tune in weekly as Donnie and David discuss all things pyro, from the business aspect of the industry to technical tips and mesmerizing pyro designs. On Pyro Unleashed, we invite cutting-edge experts to the podcast to discuss their role in making this industry a success. So, sit back and unleash your inner pyro with us.
All right, well, there it is, Donnie, episode 13.
Episode 13. I feel like we just recorded episode 12.
Almost like it was last night or something, right?
Almost like last night. Yeah, absolutely, man. How things going for you in the last 24 hours, I guess?
Ask me in another 24 hours and I'll answer. Wife's ball joint went out, you know, life and all sorts of stuff. But
yeah, I mean, well, here I am. I'm recording on a hotspot tonight, so because the sun's shining, who knows, the power goes out and the sun shines around here. So we'll get through this tonight. Episode 13,
work, right?
Man, sponsorship here by Dominator tonight. Dominator Fireworks is a China-based supplier of all things pyrotechnics, from sparklers to 8-inch display shells and everything in between. Dominator offers almost double the SKUs of other suppliers. Dominator Fireworks was established almost two decades ago, has been a reliable, trusted supplier in the industry since 2005. Dominator has been a lifelong supporter of the PGA, NFA, APA, countless regional clubs and organizations, and now the Pyro Unleashed podcast.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks once again, Ed. Thank you for the support. And I know they've been busy over in China trying to pump out as many products as they can with just all the shutdowns that they had. You know, Chinese New Year lasted longer than it should have. And so they're all hard at work doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, it looks like, we've also had a lot more stuff going on Discord. So again, hop over Discord and join us over there.
A lot of people are hanging out there. 10:30, 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much every Tuesday night we're over there, we're on there hanging out in the voice chat. So hop on over there and join us and chat and just have fun. We played some games occasionally. Last night, played poker for a little bit. So come over there and hang out and just chat.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, opportunity if you pick some brain of some pyros. So,
yeah. All right. Well, this week we have Marcus with Fireworks Forever. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. Yourself?
Good, man. Good. How's the weather by you?
It's nice. It's finally getting to be spring.
It was like 70 degrees and sunny today. It was really nice to be able to walk out and not see rain.
Yes, but or you know, snow. Rain's always good though.
It is. Yeah. Well, we're in May, so it's got to stop raining. Got to let these flowers grow now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, so how did you get into fireworks?
Well, I basically started through family. My cousin's father actually started the company, and as basically a 7-year-old kid, I wanted to, you know, was hanging out with him and was a part of the hanging out with him was working at the fireworks store and helping out. So it's kind of where it started. And then it pretty much did all that through grade school and college. And after college, I just moved on there full time.
Okay. How long ago did you start Fireworks Forever?
It was in 1981.
Okay. And how did that come about? Like just kind of the passion just kind of drove you to doing it or?
Well, so it was my story. So it was actually started by my cousin's father that actually started it. And he started it back in 81 because he just enjoyed fireworks. He loved to sell it. And, he had saw the opportunity to start a business in Wisconsin. He used to be a record producer, like a manager, for some pretty big bands up in Minneapolis. And when he kind of got out of that scene because of different things, he decided to start fireworks. That was a second passion. And started off with one little store, and that grew to two stores and three stores and to where we're at now.
So how many stores do you guys have?
So we have two right now.
So what is your current role then at Fireworks Forever?
So I'm the general manager. I basically take care of all the wholesale, overseeing retail, importing, you know, picking out the products, designing stuff if we ever want to design anything. Kind of the facet of kind of doing everything on the developmental and selling side of the business.
And how many brands do you guys carry?
Oh, it's 20 plus. I mean, but it does make a difference when you carry, you know, Dominators, all Dominators labels. I mean, what, they have 10, 11 now? What are they up to, I think?
Yeah, under the Pyro By brand. Yeah, that's crazy.
There's so many different labels you can get there, but, you know, with theirs, and then there's other ones that, you know, have, most brands nowadays seem to have not just one brand, it's two brands out of that one company. So you easily can expand your brands to having so many. But, you know, really, you're not importing them from a lot of different people. It's just they have so many brands available that you can have that it's easy to say, well, I have 20 plus brands, but really only important from X amount of companies.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So how many brands of like Pro Line do you guys carry then?
We carry four.
Four. Okay. And what are those for listeners that might not know?
So it would be Dominator, Raccoon, Nishi Pyro, and Pyro Shine.
Okay. So if you don't mind me asking, why did you choose those four brands? Obviously Dominator, I'm sure, because, you know, these guys kind of started out with Dominator, but what was the reason behind the other three?
Well, I mean, Dominator, I mean, it was what, back in 2010, 2011, I don't, you know, was because it was the only one available. At before that, we actually had carried Vulcan. Went before Articles of Pyrotechnic got popular. They used to come out with a bunch of, they called them curtain sweeps. What was the other one? They had a whole bunch of different bombards. They were kind of the first ones that I remember. Yep, that I remember having of theirs were, and at that time we had them and they didn't sell because nobody knew what it was. They're like, well, what's this? It wasn't the thing. And so then we got away from them because they were just sitting on the shelf. Like nobody was like, well, what's this? They didn't care. What's Pro Line? Everybody was like, that's out of nowhere. We don't know where that is. And then we started, because we were importing Dominator and Consumer, we expanded it to that Pro Line. And then I basically went and worked with Ed at an NFA show to basically learn what it was, because I still was at the same thing of how do you use this? What do you do with it? I mean, it's right, something exactly. new to me. And so I went and did hands on right away to learn, hey, what am I going to sell to people? Because I've never seen it. I mean, Matt had sent us some stuff, but back in that day, Matt had a lot of stuff where it was like three single shots all matched together kind of in a, on a platform. And so that was a little different than the single shots. And then we kept going with Dominator throughout the years. And then this year we added Raccoon just for some different effects. And, you know, Dominator has some great product, but not every company can make every effect for that's out there. And so you got to kind of branch out and get some things from there. And, you know, we're not getting a ton of variety from Raccoon, but it's some things here and there. And then we added Nishi Pyro. Because they had some more cakes that, you know, had different effects with colors, and I just thought stood out. And then Pyro Shine is another newer one to us. They had some more 50 shot cakes that just like a strobing red cake that they have coming out that I just thought stood out. And I was like, you know what? There's not a lot to choose from them, but it's like you want to carry it to have the variety for people. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, in the end, I know for us, obviously it's about making money, obviously in the end, that's what it's all about, but it's also about, you know, pleasing your customers, making them happy, you know, bringing something in that makes them want to come back to you and maybe, you know, not go to the next person because they have more of a variety or better selection or, you know, harder breaks or whatever the reason might be. Yeah, exactly.
So how difficult is it to bring in those new Pro Lines from brands that you haven't really worked before? You know, to build those relationships, to be able to get that product in.
Well, I mean, the nice part is that with those brands, I mean, we're already working with them through their consumer line already. So it's, you just basically say, hey, I want to order your Pro Line. And so it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not like, it wasn't like going out and saying, hey, I'm going to do, you know, Pyro Shine. It wasn't who are you, who are we kind of thing. We already had a business relationship because they make product for us. And you know, Nishi Pyro was just Magnus's 1.3/1.4 Pro line. So it's like we already imported Magnus. So it was just another option that was like, here you go, you can order this. And watching some of the cakes, it was just something different. It, you know, they have like a 486 shot peacock cake. And it's like, you know, for me, it's colors. If it's got amazing colors, somebody's going to want it. Somebody's going to use it. And it was an effect that I didn't see anybody else have. And it's like, well, if I can get a 486 shot cake, well, that's a 486 shot cake I can have that I can't get from some of these other ones that were important. So it's just giving that variety to customers, like you said, David.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I know I've been, you know, kind of watching some of the Nishi Pyro stuff. That is, you know, especially on their 1.3 line. I think we've seen some of it in the closer PGI, I believe. I'm trying to think. I think Casabella had it, maybe. I can't remember.
Casabella imports their 1.3.
Yeah, so. And I was just absolutely blown away by some of their product. I can only imagine that, you know, their pro has got to be right up there, top of the line, high quality as well. So
that's what we're hoping for.
Now, as far as
can always, you know, yeah. Like I said, so you can always watch a video and go, okay, that's good. But until you get it in the States and shoot it, it's just a prayer sometimes with things. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah. It's absolutely. It's a waiting game. Yeah. I mean, they do, you know, sometimes you watch the Chinese videos and, you know, they pump up the colors a little bit. They saturate it a little bit.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives it, false hope sometimes, but yeah, I mean, sometimes it's the real deal when it hits, when it hits the land and it breaks like you expected it. It always just, you know, it makes you really happy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Now for you, as far as like your house brand, you have Epic, do you have any other of your own brands that you offer besides Epic?
At the moment, no, just Epic.
And as far as that goes, how'd you come up with the name Epic? Is it, you know, stand for something, or is it just something you just pulled out?
You know, when we decided to go with our own, you know, brand at the time, you know, it was like trying to find a name that stood out. And, you know, there's so many different names, and a lot of people do the, you know, it's an animal and something, you know, which the Chinese always do, it seems like. An adjective and an animal. And we're like, okay. And so we were kind of, and it's like, we want something to stand out. And it's like, well, if we want to make this line, you know, really good, you know, we're going to make it Epic. And it was like, well, why don't we call it the Epic brand, you know, and kind of steal the Superman logo from it, you know, kind of say, hey, you know, we're not going to make this stuff the, you know, it's not just going to be everything under the sun. It's going to be top tier items that we pick out and we say, hey, we think customers are going to say, wow, that was an amazing item. And, you know, we did have to do some stuff, especially when you're starting to do your brand, you know, you got to get something in the States first to get it registered, you know? So there's first item was not anything special. It was just to get in the States and say, hey, we actually have a brand, and then get it trademarked and registered. And then it's after that, you know, that's when it took off to doing the 200, 500 and artillery shells.
Okay. So do you guys have any plans to expand the Epic brand?
I mean, we're always adding new items,
to
it. I mean, that's every year it's trying to find. I mean, the last couple of years we kind of took a hiatus with COVID and, you know, issues of getting stuff from China. It was like, what can I get? You know, it wasn't
right.
It was more of a, I need to get stuff into the States, not expand the brand and hope that I get it, you know. And you know how it is, David. I mean, some of the stuff we can order this March, and we might not get it until June, July of next year later.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it's so hard, because you're like, how are you putting your eggs in your basket going, okay, I'm counting on this item and it doesn't get made. And it's like, well, now I'm missing that item. So it's like, we kind of go, well, if it's been an issue over there making stuff or getting stuff, you know, sitting there for 2 months in California, why go and expand more of it until if things cleared up? And, you know, things started to clear up, but then we run into now the Chinese domestic market, where that's even harder for us to even get stuff made for us, because they want to make stuff for domestic and make more money and make it quicker and not deal with the regulations we have. And I don't blame them.
It's understandable. Oh, yep. Yeah, right. Exactly. You can't blame them for wanting to make more money, you know, locally. It makes yep. complete sense to me. I mean, in, you know, obviously with, you know, 2026 becoming, or going to be a Saturday, you know, 4th of July yep. and, you know, America's 250th birthday all in one, like, are you guys already, if you don't mind me asking, are you guys already placing your orders for 26? I mean, cause that's, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, yep. we're placing yep. 25, 26 already out. We're being yep. told if we don't have our order in by, you know, the fall, we might not get fireworks in 26. So yep. yeah. I know it's already yeah. filling up.
Yeah. We're already, you know, doing that prep and ordering and stuff, you know, the things, and, you know, like you're doing those, got to do those specialty cakes. I mean, everybody's going to have a 250, sure. everybody's going to have a 250 shot, you know, zipper cake for that year. And, you know, everybody's going to have a different red, white, and blue cakes, but yeah, it's planning, but it's also, you know, as a wholesaler, you got to plan because the people you sell that retail, they're going to be busy as just like, you know, our retail stores, and exactly. you got to be able to supply them. And, you know, you kind of look at, I think that Saturday 4th and being where it's at in America, you know, there's going to be a lot more people shooting fireworks that year. And, you know, will it hit COVID numbers? I don't think so, but I bet you it gets close.
I
don't
think so, but I think it'll be close.
It'll be close, you know, and it, you know, we can't control the weather. That's always the big factor. You know, if we all have a drought that sure. year, it won't matter. But I mean, if we have a drought, I think people are still going to go do it anyway. I think they're just not going right. to care.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. it's just one of those things that we don't need, you know, across America burning down because fireworks are, it's like, yeah, what, you know, so,
yeah.
But yeah, you have to be prepared. I mean, if you were smaller and going, okay, I can get year by year, sure. But when you're trying to not just do stores, but supply other people, I mean, it's like you said, you got to think ahead already. And if you're not, I mean, it's going to be a hard going for the future for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So gonna pivot here real quick.
And,
here.
And
so,
really, I mean, you know how. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, hey, yeah. So while we're talking about fireworks here, we have a Discord question here from Fire Tech Curtis. He wants to know, what are the challenges you face when importing 1.4 Pro professional use only items?
Well, I mean, right now there isn't really an issue. I mean, we had that issue back in, what was it? 2021, you know, when the Chinese decided to say, hey, we're not allowing 0431 to go out. I mean, that rule never really changed over there. I mean, that rule is always there, but I think people looked the other way and, you know, then they got a new CIQ leader and he cracked down and, you know, it was like, well, what's this? You know, we can't be sending this out. We don't recognize this in our Chinese, you know, orange book. And, you know, it kind of made a halt where it was like, okay, what do we do? And then it started coming back in, and then APA, the change to 0336, you know, made it easier for everybody because you didn't have to do the 1.4, the 1.3 with a special permit, you know, with 1.4. I think it makes it easier, but, you know, so right now it's easy, but who knows where it goes. You know, you hear them saying that, that stuff that's already have EX number is going to be grandfathered in, but how long is that grandfather for? You know, is that 5 years, right. 10 years? Is it a year until somebody clamps down and says no more to this? Like, we never know. And then it's going to be challenging and, you know, it'll be a different step that you have to go in a direction and kind of got to do what I think what you guys do, David. Don't you guys do a lot of the special permit kind of stuff with yours?
Yeah. I mean, we have kind of moved away from it just because of the ease of not having, you know, yep. not needing to deal with the hassle of relabeling everything.
Yep.
But yeah, we do have the special permit and we, you know, when we get items in, I know we still get some stuff in and we have to label it. And it sucks. Yeah. I mean, yep. when you get like a 12-1 case of yes. like TKs and you got to pull the top six out and put six stickers on those and six yep. more stickers on the other and seven yes. more stickers on the outside. Cause you know, it sucks saying, yep. you know, it's 1400 cases.
That's time consuming. Yep.
Yeah. 11 stickers or so. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously the cost is, the cost of the fireworks is reflected in that. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. Cause you're almost paying hiring somebody full time just to do that, you know, like,
oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, and it's, yeah. I mean, you can't just let 1.3 just sit in your warehouse either. So, you know, you gotta, you know, if you have five or six people come in and unload a container, you got 2 hours in that. Well, you might have another 10 or 12 hours just in labeling afterwards. Yep. And yeah, it's a pain. I know we were getting to a point where, you know, we kind of came to a, we found a solution where we weren't having to open up the boxes. We were trying to just get it where it's just one big sticker, placarded on one side, and it took care of everything. And that does help. Yeah, obviously you're one as opposed to 11 or 12 or however many it may be. But, you know, if they start forcing us to do that with single shots, I mean, I don't even know what to think. I mean, they're single shots. I mean, they're going to be around, but the cost is going to triple.
Yes.
On the cost of a single shot, you know, you have to pull out 50 meteors and put a new sticker on each one of them. There's got to be a better solution. We've got to figure something out.
Yeah. Sounds like job security for the labeler.
You know, or find find some way that, you know, like you could have the sticker on that has almost like, you know, the 0431 and the, you know, the 035 and say, you know, US use and China use at this, where you don't have to go through and change that label. It's like you said, it's just a carton label where it's like, okay, got to slap a 1-4 sticker, change this. It takes 3 minutes, you know, not, not 50.
And that's exactly what we've done. You know, it says, you know, 0335 13 China. And then, once it hits, you know, US land, it's 0431 14. So, that does take a lot of the time out of it, but still it's time consuming even still to get, you know, find the stickers in the container.
Yep.
And then, you know, still is, you know, a couple hours of stickering time just to get it done. And it's a hassle, but it's understandable. I mean, I guess if it's the only way we're going to be able to get it, then we'll figure it out. So do you guys carry 1-3 then as well? Or are you just 1-4, 1-4 Pro?
1-4 and 1-4 Pro. I give you guys credit dealing with 1-3. I couldn't. I hear the horror stories of, you know, I hear the horror stories of just guys that have their own magazines out in the middle of nowhere and an ATF agent comes out and it's like 2 days of going through their stuff. And it's like, I couldn't imagine dealing with that. And, you know, like the paperwork, I mean, granted, luckily they are, you know, I'm guessing you guys use Finale inventory for your stuff. Like that makes it so much easier for tracking and keeping all that, those records. But, you know, back in the day when it was all handwritten, put in a computer and Excel, like I couldn't imagine doing that and having to give that all to an ATF agent and say, yeah, this is everything I got in, this is everything I went out, and I should have this many. And then you're like, oh, I'm 3 short. Oh, crap. You know?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And then you have to figure a way to, figure that out. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess my question for you, like, if 1-4 does take the route that you know, maybe people are thinking it's going to, where everything has to be 0431.
Yep.
Do you guys plan to, and maybe this is preliminary and you don't have to answer, but do you guys think you would get like the 1-3 license just to import like the Pro to be able to still supply to those customers that you guys, you know, obviously are expecting you to carry that Pro line? Yep.
Yeah, I think we would. I mean, it's the, you know, getting, it's just adding on the, you know, the 1-3 import stuff to our stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we definitely would. I mean, it's like you said, it's going to, you know, when people are going to get sticker shocked, like you said, when stuff starts going more expensive and it's like, well, it's going to, it takes more time. It's not just unloading a container, throwing it in a pallet racking and pulling a case. It's stickering, doing all this extra work that costs money, and labor over here isn't cheap anymore. So.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we want to keep doing that. It's just, it'll see where it goes. Cause you know, what does the industry do with it? Who's controlling it? You know, like if it's got to go back this way, okay, great. Or is it, you know, we're saying that we have to do it this way and ATF gets more involved. Who knows? You know, who knows what's going to happen with that? It's, I think it's kind of a wait and see, you know, where it goes. Cause
yeah,
you know, I look at, you know, Missouri, you know, and it also changes. Like, let's talk about Missouri, you know, doing this, you know, state operator's license. And, you know, if that moves on to other states, I don't know if it will, because, I mean, it all depends on how gung-ho state fire marshals are. I mean, I don't know, you know, I know Michigan, for you guys, it always seems like there's always something, you know, they want to ban fireworks. People are annoyed with fire going off all the time. You know, I don't know what state fire marshal's there, but like some states might go, well, we really don't care. Like, we don't have the manpower to do this, you know, and we don't really want to have, we don't have a state licensure. Like, Wisconsin doesn't have one. I mean, I can't go to the state of Wisconsin and go, I need to take a test to become, there is not one. It's pick the PGI course, do some shows, become a lead, and that's it. You know, you don't need to go.
It's funny because we, I feel like we're kind of surrounded by that though. You know, I mean, I personally, you know, I got Ohio, you got Illinois, and then, you know, you got numerous other ones, and it's like you drop down to Kentucky, they don't care. Indiana, they don't care. You know, it's just PGI cert. In Michigan, same deal. And it's like, is it going to be state by state? You know, I don't know. It's, I think it's going to be,
I think again, it's going to, I didn't think time. It's, I think it's going to be state by state. I don't see it being a, every state's going to adopt it because like you said, I mean, there's a pluses of it, of a, you know, state fire marshal gain saying, okay, this is what it is, but are they doing it more for make an example of people? Or are they doing it more for, hey, I want to go in these tents and make sure somebody's not selling stuff. You know, nobody's ever really came out and said that, what they want to do with it. And it's, I just, sometimes some states might say, we just don't have the manpower or train. I mean, training, because how do you train all your, you know, local fire chiefs what to go look for? You know, some of these fireworks look just like a firework, you know, like it's,
I mean, how do you, I mean, even you look for, you know, overloads in a tent or a store or something, right? I mean, it's whatever, it's color wrapped. People are getting their hands on it, but I mean, really it's the same thing. I mean, it's wrapped 1-3. It is color wrapped 1-3. And people are getting their hands on it. And you know, how do you start to restrict that? I mean, they, I mean, obviously there already are rules and restrictions and, and that's kind of the thrill in getting overloads, right? I mean, you're getting something that's technically illegal, wrapped legally, and you know, it's got a pretty shiny paper on it to make it seem as though it's not something that it is. How do you limit that? How do you control that?
You can't, because you'd be, like I said, you'd have to go train every local person that's going to check tents and stores what to look for. And I mean, some stores, you know, we all know, put it out and put it on their shelves. You walk in the door, it's like, bam, right there. Other stores,
it's right there.
You know, they don't have it there. And it's like, well, okay, I walk around and, you know, you have a case, look in the back. And like you said, you look in the cases in the back, like say their storage room, you're not going to know. Like it says 220 shots on there, 250 or 300. Well, we have 300 shot zipper cakes. How are they, you know, they're not going to know the difference. So to train them and say, well, this is what you look for, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of man time just to train them for, you know, some states, like, you know, look at South Dakota. They have what, 10 days to sell. Are they really going to train all that, take that time to go check all these tents in 10 days? I mean, they might
Washington's the same way.
You know, they might spot check here and there, but they don't have the time or the manpower to go out and do this. Or, hey, we're going to get you in training and say, hey, to their governor, hey, I need to get money, or Congress, their legislation, we need money to train this for this action. Well, why? Why are you training this? Like, you know, that's tax day dollars that you're spending on something that may nothing get out of it. So what are we wasting money
for? And I mean, you might even train in, and then, you know, all these guys, the fire marshals, or, you know, they might just be like, yeah, just turn a blind eye to it, or, you know, kind of ignore the class, or, you know, so there's a number of, you know, ways that it's like, it's whatever at this point. I mean, so, and I get that.
I mean, we'll wait and see. I mean, Donnie, you got to deal with it. So that's, you know, I,
you're living in a heat.
I kind of interested to see how it goes for you guys down there this year, because like I said,
I'm interested to see how Skywars is going to handle it.
I think we're all wondering that, you know, what's going to be,
because I mean, I mean, pre-orders, B, how am I going to get the product to these to the people doing the displays? You know, it's, I don't know. It'll be so many unknowns.
It'll be a bridge we have to cross after the 4th of July, you know?
Yeah.
Like it'll be interesting to see, because it is going to be it's a big event and it's going to be there. I mean, that the fire, you know, already know the fire marshal that walks around and does all the pre-checks. I mean, how he does everything. So what is he going to be like, you know?
Absolutely.
And it might come down to, in that case, you know, like, who's listed as your lead on Skywars? Is that person license to be able to handle that, is responsible for that person, and he's responsible for everything on the field, and not necessarily the individual shows responsible for it, but you have somebody who is responsible for everything on the field, and maybe that's the route they have to go.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, they don't have to worry about the permanent insurance, so it's like, is it Rob, is it, you know, who in that club is going to take, put their name down? I mean, somebody's probably going to do it already, but who's putting it down? Absolutely. Is that person got that state display operator's license? And I'm guessing they do. I mean, I know Rob does shows, and I'm guessing they already will have that. So it's like, okay, I'm putting my name down as president of Mopyro, and it covers in this whole area, you know? Because like you said, you can't stop people. I mean, you're saying, hey, we're going to do this, but how do you say if somebody's buying something, like, well, you know, you get people that come from all over the country, and it's like, well, yes, I'm getting here, but I'm not shooting it here. I'm not storing it here. It's going back to Oklahoma or Texas. Like, how do you control that? Like, can't say no to it. I mean, it's interstate commerce. Like, they're just going through your state with it, you know, in a sense. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing I'm kind of curious about is, you know, obviously, okay, so 76, for example, they're there.
Yep.
How are they going to handle interstate sales versus out of state sales? Like,
yeah, I think, you know, I don't know. That'd be interesting because, like, I think I've read that they're requiring all Missouri residents if they want to buy it. But, okay, well, I'm from Wisconsin. Right. I want to buy stuff from you, 76. Like, can you, if I came down to your, you know, is it if I come to your warehouse and I sign something, you take a picture of my ID and says I'm not from Missouri, or because I came down to Missouri, is it a different rules? I don't know. Does anybody really know?
Missouri resident getting, say, a Kansas PO box? I mean, I'm taking it to, you know, maybe to an extreme there, but.
I mean, how are you proving your residency? Is it your driver's license, or is it just, you know, I have a post office box, like you said, in Kansas that has my address on it, and that's what I'm using. So, I mean.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued to see what they try and do.
And then anybody come out, like, I mean, Donnie, have you seen anything like what they're requiring, and, you know, the resident thing, like, how are they controlling that? You know, like 76.
The only thing that we've heard from Peter at 76 is that it applies to Missouri residents. If you're a Missouri resident, you have to have a display operator license in order to purchase a pro product. And okay. So, that's as far as that we know. I mean, we just did a big group buy with them for KCAP, and it was kind of right before they put all those rules in, so we didn't really have to navigate it for their group buy.
Yep.
But it'll be interesting to kind of see how they proceed forward with it. And since technically it's just a fire marshal suggestion and it's not really necessarily a law at the moment.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of pre-enforcing something with the anticipation that's going to become law. And that's what bothers
me. That's what bothers me as well. And I think I've mentioned this to you, Donnie, off air. Like, as much as I understand, you know, trying to be at the forefront of something, if something's the case, I get that. But at the other hand, I want to say, like, stand up for your right. Like, they have not put this rule into place. Like, fight it, you know, stand up for your hobby. And and make your opinion known that you do not want this to happen. Stand your ground with it too. And I guess that to me is, I don't understand why 76, I don't want to use the term, like, kind of became a coward, but almost along those lines, like, just said, okay, we're going to just do this. Like, what was the reasoning behind that? I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, if it's not a written law, like, you have to do it, it's like, why not keep doing what you're doing? But I mean, also, I look at it like, hey, if you're gonna, you know, what's coming down the line, like, you're just preparing. Like, instead of being a shock, it's like, hey guys, we're gonna let you know now, so you get, you know, because it's not like you can just go to the you know, a place and get your display operator's license overnight. You know, I think it's kind of giving them everybody the heads up, like, this is what we're gonna require going forward. And
there's going to be a backlog of people applying for it at this point, then.
Oh, yeah. And so it's just, they're maybe trying to just get ahead of it and say, you know, you want to get ahead of things as much as you can, just to say, hey, look, I'm trying to be as compliant with things of what the state's going to go to. But if it hasn't been a law yet, it's like, you know, do I care yet, or do I want to really enforce it?
Exactly. All right. Well, that was a lot.
Yeah.
So, kind of backtrack a little bit. Obviously you guys carry 1.4, 1.4 Pro. Do you guys ship then?
Yes.
All 50 states are restricted, or how do you guys handle
it's
that?
It's restricted. Yeah. You can't, you never ship anything to California. That's just, Hawaii, everybody, you get all these people in Hawaii after New Year's. They're like, hey, I want to ship to Hawaii. I'm like, good luck to you. Mm-hmm. Good luck. You can find somebody great, but it's not going to be me, and then there's other states.
I'm not going to be riding that. Yeah.
There's other states where you have to, have a little requirement from somebody. Like Connecticut is a state. I look at, for example, where you got, you're not shipping to a hobbyist. It's got to be a person that has a store and has the selling license in that state. So it's kind of a state by state basis of what their requirement is to say, hey, you need to have this. In some states, it's like, it's wide open, pick it up at terminal, ship it to your house. It's on you kind of thing. So,
yep. Yep. Exactly.
And then along those same lines, then, do you also do delivery to like events and such like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, really the only event that we do recently for delivery is Skywars.
Okay.
Before COVID, I would go to the HPA event, MFF in the fall, deliver there.
Yeah.
And then I've done stuff, to deliveries to like PGI for people. We're not doing mass orders. It's hard to get out and get to all these events. I'd love to get to more events, but it's time, your business to run. And I can't just say every weekend I'm going to go drive here, go there, especially when you get some of these events now that are getting farther away. You got the Lone Star thing in Texas. I mean, we sponsor it, but I can't, it's hard for me to get down to Texas in October or I know there's
for sure.
That was the Oklahoma one I know was asking for that. Yeah. It's like, I'd love to go down there, but November, it's just getting away for weekends is hard when you have kids at, an elementary age and they're involved in things. It's like, well, I don't want to, I'm not going to be the person that misses their life for work. I got to keep the work life balance, so it's like, I'd love to be there, but they're everywhere. And it's like, I'm not that age where I can say, oh, I have no kids in the house. And I'm telling my wife I'm gone for a week. And she's like, sweet, see you later. Don't come back for another 2 weeks kind of thing. So
go to the next 2 weeks of events too while you're at
exactly.
it. So what is your involvement in Skywars then? I know I've heard some stuff rumored, but I'd like to hear
rumored,
maybe come from you.
Well, I mean,
rumored.
Rumored. So, I mean, we're just a sponsor like everybody else. I think I don't know how many years we've been doing it. But yeah, we're just the normal sponsor. I mean, this year is a little different. They have different tiers. Just, normal sponsor. And normally we try to help out a little bit more because with that event, because usually we know somebody doing a pro-am, the last, I don't know how many years I've known somebody that's been doing the, pro-am. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to help them out. Make sure they have all the product they need. And so it's like, okay, you give your case donation. And it's like, hey, we'll do a little bit more for this person or if they're asking for something, we're always willing to give a little bit more to that event because we've seen how it's grown. And I mean, it's got to the point where, like last year, I mean, it was a little too many, but what they have like 950 pyro passes. I mean, that's a lot of so-called pyros. I mean, we all know they weren't all pyros, but it was, it's a lot.
I think this year it's even more. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, helping out with the event and we're actually members of MoPyro. We were actually, corporate sponsors for them for 10 years. And then they changed to now where they don't do corporate sponsor anymore. It's just a regular membership. And then, so we've been supporters of them, just because I know a lot of the guys in it. Ed got us involved with it because it's Ed. Ed was dominating. He's like, hey, you got to be involved in this club. This is things like that. So, other than that, I mean, I judge shows. I've done that, I've done that before. I've been a judge and, last year I did not judge because one, I was helping Scott Smith on his show. So I said, I'm not going to put my hat in the ring for that because I think it could be too biased. I think some people can kind of take it as like, well, that person helped and he's judging, like, well, but I'm still only one vote, but I'm not going to put myself in that place and make people wonder, like, oh, he was just doing it to help Scott win. Well, no, I'm, you know, AJ and Mike did awesome shows and I was just helping. Sure. I was just helping Scott because it was almost like I owed him a favor because he helped me in 2019 with my Unlimited show. And I was supposed to help him in 2020 with his first pro-am and I wasn't able to leave because of COVID stuff. And so I was like, well, I owe you one. It was kind of like it's paying back the favor. So when he got it, I was like, well, I'll be there all week. I'll be your grunt. I'll work till 2 a.m. doing stuff. So it's kind of like payback, but
climbing that tower.
Yeah. Scaffolding. Oh my gosh. I didn't climb the scaffolding. I left that to Charlie yeah. and Corey, but yeah, it was like helping out. But other than that, I mean, I guess we're just the normal company that goes down there and does pre-sales, sponsors, gives product to whoever needs it and yeah, goes from there. Definitely. I mean, kind of like what you guys do. I mean, you guys do a lot more involvement with shows lately. I mean, last couple of years, you guys done a show every year, it seems like, or done something with it.
Yeah.
You know, we have.
Yeah, even this year, we're not actually doing a show, but John Mickert's one of our crews. And he's going to be using our product out there. So looking forward to seeing what he's got going on. And all right. So I guess kind of moving to the next segment here. How does one start a small business in fireworks? Like what are your thoughts on somebody starting a small business in fireworks? Is it worth it? What all is entailed? I mean, I know this is a super loaded question, yep. So.
I would say it is if you want to put endless amount of hours into it, depending on your state. I mean, I would love to be in a state that was 10 days, like South Dakota, where your retail stores are only open for 10 days, you know, that you compact it to 10 days and it's done. If you're in that situation, it's like, okay, I got to take 10 days off my regular job, set up a tent. I'm not going to sleep for 10 days. I'm not going to see my family. And, you know, it can be done, but it's not going to be easy, especially when you're coming into an area and say there's a competition, you're the new person. And how do you stand out from people? And, you know, we always tell people when, you know, people come ask me all the time, you know, I'm starting here and like, what can you suggest to me? I'm like, well, first of all, you know, competition is always healthy. Like they always worry that, well, there's somebody else in there. And it's like, well, but
right.
That gives you the ability to say, hey, we can be a better fireworks company than them. You know, it might be by pricing. Right. It might be just customer service. It also might just be the product that you carry. I mean, you go into some areas and everybody has the same stuff. You know, they're getting it from the same wholesaler. And then I'm right. like, don't do that. And they're like, why? I'm like, because you're doing basically apples to apples on the product. So if they see you charging, you know, say $100 for a 24 pack cancer shell that they carry, you'll go, well, I'll put it down as 85 and make it up somewhere else. And then you're going,
yeah, what's the reason in racing to the floor? Like yep. there's just yeah. no,
and that's,
no reason.
And that's the problem is people, a lot of people don't understand. Like there's no reason, like you said, race to the floor. Like, yeah, you want to have good prices, but you're there to make money, not give the product away. So take advantage exactly. of it like that and make your money. So if you think you can get a buck or two more of an item because you can do it, you know, you're putting your hard work into it and you're not going to get anywhere if you're just always selling it for super cheap. Cause then at the end of the day, you're like, well, I made back the money I paid for the fireworks and what do I got left? You know,
right.
A couple $1,000 for 10 days or 2 weeks, you know, if you're doing it part-time, I mean, full-time is a little different, but you're also, yeah. again, if you're full-time, you're most likely have a store, a building, you know, building insurance, you know, and insurance never gets cheaper. You know, so you start right. doing, you know, insurance every year goes up and the more product you carry, the higher insurance. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you got to pay for all that. And you also got to make a living, you know, and pay things. And yes, you want to get people in the door to spend money, but you also don't want to just give it away and go, wow, I did all that work for a year and I didn't really make much. You know, it's kind of like, mm-hmm. you're kind of almost like a farmer where it's like you grow this crop and you get more and more crops and then prices, you know, of that commodity goes down. You're like, oh man, I didn't make as much money this year. I had more bushels per acre, but the price wasn't there. And it's like, I made no money. So it's like the same thing. Like you could move all this product, but if you're not making any money, what does it do? You just to say, hey, I moved 1,000 cases. Well, good for you. But if you didn't make anything off it, you know, next year when you
go, it doesn't account for anything.
You know, next year when you go to your wholesaler and the wholesaler's like, well, you know, China costs went up 5%. You know, shipping right now has a peak season charge, so the product went up. You're like, oh man, now I got to spend more, and I don't have that money.
Exactly.
So,
or like 2021, you know, when prices were up to $47,000 plus for just shipping to get it to your door. Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and then
who's sucking that cost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as the fireworks business, what additional like rules, regulations, licenses do you need to be able to start a business?
Well, I mean, it comes down to the state. You know, some states, you know, require sales tax, you know, seller's permit basically to sell something. And then depending on where you're, how you're doing, if you're doing a tent, you know, you're going to have follow all the regulations of the state, you know, so many exits out of that tent, fire extinguishers, and same thing with building. You got to have Wisconsin, it's 3 points of egress, you know, and a double door is not 2 points. It's only one. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when a fire chief comes and goes, they say, hey, I can't let you open. And you're complaining. It's like, well, first of all, what is he asking you to do? Put another door in, put the door in. Don't argue with them. You know, that's not two doors on together and now two exits kind of thing. So, you know, it's more of that. Like, you know, other states are a little bit different, but Wisconsin, it's have your seller's permit, you know, pay your sales tax, follow all the proper rules for, you know, fire codes and have fun with it.
And so do you expect to see like growth this year? I mean, so obviously this year's like a Thursday. That's a little different. But I know, I mean, are you expecting to see growth like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, 24, 25, 26? Or do you think this year is going to be a little bit better than maybe next year? I know I've talked to several people. They think maybe Wednesday, Thursday is going to be busy. Friday is going to kind of drop. And then everybody's going to be like, oh, I need more fireworks by Saturday. And they'll come back and
yeah, hit the heart. Yeah, I mean, like, with a Thursday, 4th, I mean, you're going to have the weekend before is going to be, you know, you're going to have the people that don't want to be there during the 4th of July, you know, yeah. And then during the week, it's going to be slow until evenings. And then, you know, Wednesday and Thursday will be hopping, you know, Friday, mm-hmm. Friday is going to be the teller for this year for us. If people are like, hey, I want to keep doing it for the weekend, but then you're also going to get the people that come in on Friday and go, well, everything needs to be 50% off, right? You got to get rid of it. It's like,
you got to get rid of it, right?
Yeah. And it's like, no. Like it can sit here all year. Like I'll sell it. Like I don't need to give it away now. Like if you come back and August when I'm like finally figuring out what I'm not going to sell in our stores and sure, but July 5th, I'm not going to discount it 50% because I don't have to pack it up like people with tents. I mean, you get the mentality and I can understand when you go to a tent, it's like, well, I'm done. I got to pack up. I don't want to bring this stuff home. I don't want to store it. So I'm going to make something back because if it's sitting in my garage, it's just losing me money. You know, I didn't make that money back.
Yeah, most definitely.
It'll be interesting. And I think it'll also be weather. I mean, we've been in this pattern, it seems like lately, where it's rained in the spring and the water turns off middle of May and we don't see it until August. And, you know, it gets dry and, you know, people don't want to shoot or they're not doing as big of things as early. You know, they'll still do it on the 4th of July. But you're not getting every weekend because they're like, well, it's dry out. I don't want to be a statistic that I burned mm-hmm. down the forest kind of thing. And, you know, in an industry, it's like, we're glad because we don't want to ever hear that story that, oh, fireworks started a fire in, you know, say northern Wisconsin and, oh, great, fireworks get the bad publicity and then we all look bad. You know, it's like, right. Well, we can't control what people are doing. Like if somebody goes and shoots a bottle rocket into a dry, you know, hay field, well, that's on them. You know, we can't stop them. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And along those same lines, like, have you seen more like wholesalers buying earlier on this year or are they still holding off? Cause I know last year was kind of weird. Like you were talking, like there was that dry spell. Then we got a little bit of rain. Then everybody was like, oh, okay, I need fireworks now to fill my store. Like, are you seeing that or are you seeing kind of like a steady rise?
I think this year, we're seeing a steady rise. I think we're not in that panic buying mode anymore, especially for people that are have their own stores or tents. You know, we went through that where it was like, I got to get my hands on product. And it was, you know, anything came in, they were buying it as they could. And as we got into a back to semi-normal of getting product in, it's people are not pressing in earlier. They're like, okay, well, I don't need to set up till this time. I I can wait. You have product. I'll get it. Or they're pre-ordering saying, hey, I'm ready to go, but I don't want it shipped till this time because, you know, we don't need it. They're not panic buying, I guess, in a way. They're just saying, I'll get my stuff from my store. And I think a lot of people are kind of going, what is it going to be like? You know, they're still in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Like, is it going to be a good year? Is it not? You know, if the weather affected them a little bit. I know some people that had some, you know, the dry weather affected them last year, and they're going, well, I can't do 2 years of having over product. I got to be more responsible. And so they're like, well, we'll do more of a buy as we go kind of thing. Like you said, when it rains, we'll buy more product. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we've been seeing kind of, it's been kind of weird. Like some customers are wanting to buy earlier. Some customers. Yeah, exactly. Like you said, they're waiting for maybe that certain item to come in. So they have that order in the system. As soon as that item comes in, they're waiting, you know, we can ship that out. And then others are just waiting until, you know, June 15th to get it shipped to them. So, yeah, it's just kind of all over the place this year, and from what I'm seeing, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting year, that's for sure. But
yeah. And then so for, you know, the person who wants to start their own firework business and they're trying to, you know, get a retail business going and looking to maybe work with a wholesaler, when they're looking for like startup cost-wise, you know, do they need to be looking for loans, or they need to have money up front, or do wholesalers work with you to allow you to kind of get the product and pay afterwards? Kind of how does that work for a brand new retail person?
I mean, it depends. I mean, some wholesalers will do full credit. I mean, I know some of the larger ones do, but they also have more money back behind them. I mean, some companies don't all have this giant wad of cash to say, hey, I'll give you this product and then hopefully collect after the 4th of July. You know, you're hoping on a prayer. You know, some companies might say the first year you have to put 50% down, or you have to put this much down and then we'll do the rest on credit. And you maybe build that relationship with that wholesaler. It's like, okay, yeah, I've been buying for 10 years. And it's like, yeah, you want to do credit for this? Yeah, we can do it till the 4th of July because you've built that relationship, you know. And that's the biggest thing, is building a relationship with wholesalers. You know, it seems like some people like to bounce around here and there. And it's like, well, if you can find a good wholesaler that's close to you or has the product you want, I mean, work with them, you know, make that relationship and build that, because you'd be surprised when you keep coming back and getting to know everybody there and working with them. They might go, oh yeah, we can do this for you, 'cause you've been a loyal customer and you know, we trust you. We've built that working relationship so we can do that. And some companies might say, nope, that's not our business model, and you have to pay up front. And so then as you know, if you're starting off, then it's like, you got to have money. You know, who are you getting money from? Are you putting it all on credit cards? Are you putting, you know, borrowing money? But then again, that's a risk, because if it's your first year, you never know what it's going to be like. You know, you're starting off new, going, okay, I could make this, and I might only make this, or I could think I could make this, and I had a great year. And then the next year, like, I had a great year last year, and then you overbuy, and then you're like, oh, I didn't have a great year because circumstance out of your control. So.
Yeah, so kind of along those same lines, I guess, you know, as a retail tent operator, I purchase product, season's over. I've got unopened product left over. I can't store it anywhere because obviously I'm just a tent operator. Can I return that back to you and get credit or get that money refunded? Or how does that kind of work?
Well, for us, no. We don't do any of that consignment stuff. When it leaves the warehouse, it's yours, you know, because how do I know what you did with it? You know, just because it's taped like that, it's yours. You know, I don't know a lot of companies that do that anymore, other than ones that are saying, hey, you're going to be like you're working for us in a way. Like, we provide the product, you sell, and you're like, almost like a tent operator for them and making a percentage, and then they'll take back the product. But I mean, who wants to have cases of half open cases of tanks? What am I going to do with those? I mean, they're going to sit in your warehouse and go, I have a half a case of tanks or a half a case of sparklers, where it's like, well, maybe if I didn't have I can put it on my store, but what if I don't retail that sparkler? What if I don't, you know, I have one colored sparkler, but this is a different one, and I don't want to retail it because I don't need two different colored sparklers on the shelf. And
right. And some things myself good for one store, and literally a half a mile down the road, something else will sell out. It's so weird. How it works. Yeah. So yeah, location is really key when finding a location to Yeah, find a spot to sell fireworks. Yeah, location could, I mean, genuinely make or break your business. I know you guys, you said you were located in Wisconsin. So where are your two stores at?
So we have one store in St. Croix Falls, and then the other one is just outside of Somerset. So they're about 30 miles apart from each other. We're right across the river from Minnesota. I mean, both our stores are, you cross, you know, 4-lane highways to get to us. So we have the, you know, our Somerset store is on a good traffic day, 25 minutes from Minneapolis.
Okay. So then does that mean you're going to make an appearance at PGI this year?
Oh, I'll be up there. Oh yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
I'll be up there. I'll be a little bit longer than last year down there, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, last year it was more of a come to see stuff, but it was like, I was bringing my youngest daughter and I wanted her to see some of that stuff, but I also didn't want to be like, okay, you're stuck with dad for a week. Dad walks around and then somebody starts talking to dad and it's an hour later and she's like, dad, let's go. You talk too long, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yes, but those are the clients and that, you know, that pays for you to do all those activities and blah, 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 you know?
Exactly.
Like, so I wanted to take her to kind of experience it. Cause you know, it was in Wisconsin. I'm like, hey, bring her down and see some stuff. But you know, with Brainerd and it being hosted by another club that I know really well, the Northern Lighters, want to be up there for a little bit longer, to see, and I just enjoy the shows. I mean, it'll be nice to be up at that nice venue up there in Brainerd. I think that's going to be a nice spot to have PGI. And I hope that it can be one in their circulation, you know, that they can use it as a,
yeah, it sounds like it's as long as everything goes well, it sounds like it's going to be in the circulation. So pretty excited for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. It's getting back to those, you know, yeah, people might complain it doesn't go somewhere here, but it's like when it was kind of constantly rotating between cities and you knew, okay, next year it's going to be in Fargo and next year it's going to be Mason City and next, you know, it makes it nice because you can kind of get around the country, but also plan like, I know where it's going to be. You know, every 4 years kind of thing, or every 5 years, how are they ever doing it?
So, yeah, yeah, exactly. So if somebody wants to come to Fireworks Forever or purchase from your website, what is your guys' website?
Our website would be wholesalefireworksforever.com.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And we'll link that in the bio for this week's episode. And, we'll get the word out there. You guys sitting pretty good on product for this season, or did you guys?
Yeah,
you guys showing a little bit of a little behind because of New Year in China.
Yeah, we're, you know, things are more compacted coming in this year. We'll be a lot more. May will be a busy month of alone containers, and so
yeah, it's looking ridiculously busy.
Yep. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it'll be unload and ship out right away, and it kind of is nice because you condense the season down to 2 months. You know, you're not unloading and storing, and it's everything comes in. Yes, it's crazy, but it comes in, it goes out, and then 2 months later, you're like, okay, it's all gone. Like, it makes it so much nicer.
It's all gone, and now it's now it's trade show season.
Yep,
and
and then
events and events and events.
Yep.
Yeah, and if somebody wants to order ProLine from you, what type of requirements do you require for them to be able to purchase ProLine?
So to buy Pro from us, I mean, we have 6 different criteria that you could fulfill. So, I mean, the top, you know, basic one is like the ATF license. And then we have the PGI certification, DOC. We have a shooter's license you can get, and then you can get a state shooter's license. So the kind of the difference is a state shooter's license would be some like Missouri display operator's license. A shooter's license would be, hey, for example, I work for RKM, you know, I work for them. I shoot them. They put me on as a shooter. That's kind
of
the difference.
You heard it here, folks. Yep. No, I'm just kidding.
So, you know, that's the thing. It's one of those things where it's you know, people always ask, what's the difference between the two? I'm like, well, one's given by a state and the other is given by a display company. And then other ones we have is, like a certificate from, a display company that does like the NFPA training, or a club training. There's some clubs that do some in-house training that will do the 1-4. It's usually the 1-3, but they'll include, you know, they're starting to include the 1-4. And so it's just kind of that. So it's the 6 different ones there.
So do you guys host a training then?
No, we have not hosted a training for any of the pro, because we don't see a lot of people when, especially like, you know, if we were going to do it on a demo night, we don't get a lot of people coming for pro. On the, you know, a lot of more of our customers are consumers or resellers, and I mean, we do have some guys that do pro, but I try to steer them to, hey, you know, if you're in Wisconsin, go join the WPAG, you know, great club. They do the cert every April,
very good.
You know, or if you're in Minnesota, go, you know, go do the Northern Lighters, go work for Hollywood. You know, there's different, you know, different companies that you can do there. And just the timing, I mean, we're not to get somebody to come in and do it. We just don't have the space to say, hey, we can dedicate a place to do training in the afternoon while we're setting up for a demo. So we're just kind of limited on space.
That makes complete sense.
I know, you've mentioned that you obviously you're a member of Mopyro, and then I obviously know you're a member of KCAP. Any other clubs that you are a member of or a supporter of?
I'm only a member of those two. I used to be a member of HPA. I need to re-up with that club. You know, I enjoyed the guys that are down there when I met. I need to get back with them. But, you know, I know guys from Northwest Pyrotechnic Association, New Hampshire, Michigan. I mean, you know, Northern Lighters, Wisconsin. Oh, we're part of Wisconsin. But that's just kind of a given that, you know, being in Wisconsin, I mean, it's, you know, Northern Lighters, I'm not a part of the Northern Lighters, but, you know, I know everybody there is there. I mean, knowing a lot of people in these clubs, I mean, I'd love to be members, but like, sometimes I'm like, okay, am I a member just to be a member? Like, I'm not going to ever come down and event. Like, so we try to do a lot more if they offer corporate sponsorships, because, you know, I know I'm never going to come, you know, I might come to a shoot once every 5 years, but I'd rather give that club support in a way and say, hey, your corporate sponsorship is, you know, let's say $200, but your membership's $100. Well, why don't I become a corporate sponsor and give you $200? Basically, it's $200 for free. You know, you don't have to do anything other than me say, hey, you got a corporate somebody that's a fireworks company that's giving us money.
That's awesome.
It's kind of the easiest, I think, easier for us, because being a member, it's like, I'm never going to be involved. And then they're like, who's this guy? You know, if they don't know who I am, like, why is, we have this Marcus Berg, it's in Wisconsin. Why is he a member? And some clubs are a little bit more selective, you know, that they're not going to just take anybody, you know, like I know New Hampshire club, they just don't let you sign up. You can't just go online and say, I want to be a New Hampshire Pyrotechnic Associate club member. They like almost do like a screening process on you. And, you know, and they've offered to, you know, they've said, hey, you know, we could do it, but I'm like, but then you're just wasting your board meetings time to say, hey, let's approve Marcus to be a member. And, you know, then you're just like, are you really just wanting the money from me? It's like, well, I can donate money to you and do it this way and not be a member, you know? So I think that's some different things with that, with those clubs, but it's nice to support them. You know, I'm a big proponent for clubs to have support. I mean, that's how people learn. I learned how to do what I, you know, shooting 1.3. When I used to do that, I learned from all the old members of Northern Lighters. Like, we used to have their open shoots at one of our locations. And I learned how to shoot a 3-inch shell from them. And I learned, hey, this is what it can do. And then I learned, hey, this is what now you can do with it. You can go bigger. Next thing, it's like, hey, I can light a 3-inch shell. Can we do a 16-inch shell? Oh, this is amazing. You know, things like that. So for me, it's always been in my blood, like, to support the clubs, because they supported us and kind of taught me everything, you know, on how to shoot fireworks. You know, it's a little different than selling fireworks, but just shooting and enjoying my passion for it. So anyway, we can help clubs. It's like, they're kind of, I think, like the backbone of this industry for hobbyists.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say,
you know, to get people involved, but also like, just to train people, like, hey, you know what, you want to go do bigger things, go help a display company. I mean, display companies need help all the time. Or go join one of these clubs. I mean, yes, you might be the new person, but ask questions, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to take you under your wing and go, hey man, come with me. I'm going to show you how to do this. Come over here. You know, have you ever built something? No. All right, let's sit down and build a shell. We'll build a basic shell. And it's like, wow, that's so cool. Like, and then your love for it just grows. And it's like, because one person took the time to show me how to do it. So,
right. Yeah. Yep, clubs can be not even can be. They are. They're probably one of the greatest attributes and things you can do in the pyro world is to join your local club and get involved. Do things, meet members, learn new things. Just in general, it's all around a really good thing to do.
Yep.
And I think we all know who Marcus's favorite club is. So.
I don't know. After the last couple of nights from Zach, I might have to disown you guys.
Some funny stuff.
I was going to say what a clown, but
yeah. Don't worry. His dad gave me some stuff to get back in if I want to. So you never know how in the near future something might come out about with for Zach from Marcus. So
put it in one of your emails.
In the Pyro Unleashed Discords. See what we can get going up in there, right?
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, anything else from you, Donnie? You got any other questions?
No, I don't think so, man. It's been a great opportunity here to sit and chat with Marcus. I've had a lot of emails with Marcus over the last few years. I mean, Marcus was the first guy I bought wholesale from my wedding back in 2021. And always been great to work with. He makes group buys super easy for KCAP. It's always been wonderful to work with. Marcus, you have any deals or specials or promotions going on right now for anybody who's looking to order some product or get involved?
I mean, if you're buying wholesale, I would say reach out to me and say, hey, I listened to you on the Pyro Unleashed podcast, and we can bump you up a couple of tiers on the pricing.
Right on. For sure. That's awesome.
Get you a little bit better pricing on that. Other than that, go on the website. We just launched a new website and try to make it more user-friendly, more interactive for the customer to be able to do more without us having to do as much stuff and, the technology and the way it's going, saying, hey, you can do it all from your phone. You don't need to ask questions. You don't have to worry about sending an email. It's all in the, palm of your hands to do. And it's real simple. You sign up, if you want to do pro, you just upload a document. It's saved for you. It'll automatically tell you a month before your pro document expires. It'll send you an email and say, hey man, your pro document's about to expire. It gives you a kind of reminder and, it makes it kind of customer friendly. So
that's awesome. Yeah, no, that's a really cool feature to have. Telling your customers when it's time to re-up their pro cert. Yep. So.
And what's the website again for people to go and check you out
on? Any other questions for us? Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yep. It's wholesalefireworksforever.com.
All right. We'll get that in the, like I said, we'll get that in the bio. And any questions for us, Marcus?
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. It was,
yeah, man.
It's enjoyed to get to talk to you. I haven't, like I said, David, I remember the first time meeting you when your father-in-law was buying stuff from us at HPA back in the day.
Yeah. It was crazy, right?
Yeah.
Loading up his trailer.
Yep. It's a full circle in this industry. Everybody asks, they're like, how do you know these people? I'm like, you meet them at an event and there's like, well, but they're from the other company. It's like, well, yeah, just because they sell from there's somebody else's, who cares? I can get to know somebody. It's like,
yeah,
I can and everybody go, well, you recommended, you included David on Facebook, Coast Guard Cam. I'm like, well, the guy's in Michigan.
It's mutual respect.
It's go to Michigan. You're in Michigan, go to our cam. He's right there. Like, it's the same thing. Like, who cares? Like, we're all in the business to make money. We don't have to be fighting each other or going, oh God, we hate it. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you're talking to this person. Yeah. We're in the business, because one person's going to know something. It might teach you something new and you might go, wow, I didn't think about that. Or it might lead to an avenue for something in the future. Cause you never know when, hey, we got short on something, especially if you're a retailer and going, I really need some sparklers, for example. It's like, well, I got a great relationship with David. I'm going to call up David and say, hey, do you guys need sparklers? Yep. Well, great. I might, because I have the relationship, he might go, well, I really don't want to sell to you, but man, we have a relationship. Yeah, I will sell to you. Not,
yeah.
Why
exactly.
Why would I want to sell to you? You're the guy over in Wisconsin that it's wholesales and does, it's like, no, well, you got to be, friends with these people and know, cause you never know when you're going to need their help or they need your help,
Exactly.
So,
and man, we've been messaging back and forth. I mean, I've been designing, PGI show and been asking you about the 50 millimeter mines and just seeing what we can come up with. Yep. Yeah. 6.5 cases is a lot.
Yeah. You can do them all at once, right?
Within 3 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be something. So looking forward to seeing what we can pull out and, get going with that. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, like you were saying, man, it's really just a matter of, you know, it's a big piece of pie, right? And as long as I get my piece and you can get your piece, I mean, really it's you're feeding your family from this business and I am as well. And if we can both work to make that happen, I think it creates a much better environment, a much better hobby, and it just helps, you know, coherence in the hobby. So
well, and
I
it really also
appreciate that
it does, and it also it goes. And I always tell people, like, we as companies don't carry everything. I mean, you can't carry every brand, and you might go, well, I don't carry this brand, and somebody's like, hey, do you have this item? Well, I don't, but you say, hey, this person does. You know, and it's like, if you want certain things, go get it from there, and then get some for me. Like, you don't have, we're not asking you to buy everything from us. We all love to buy 100%, but it's like, we're not oblivious to things. Like, people want different items, and it's like, I don't carry, an example, I don't carry window product. Well, window has some great items. Well, who has window? I know. Okay. Go that, you know, if you want some window items, go here. If you want this stuff, or if you want, you know, like somebody says, hey, I want, you know, I heard this Shockwave brand. Well, you got to get it from RKM. It's the only person you're gonna get it from. So go there. Like, you know, I don't have it, and they have it, and it's there. So you're going to have to go there and give them some business, and you're going to enjoy doing business with them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate all the talk about the company. And yeah, like I said, you know, if we have anybody, looking for anything that we don't have of, you know, especially like, you know, Dominator, obviously we both carry that, but you know, I'm not going to have the same stuff in my market as, you know, what people are going to want in your market. So I might as well, you know, just push them over to you. Cause in the end, is it really benefiting you, me, or, you know, the brand of Dominator? Like it's really benefiting all of us in one, yes, in one hit. So
yep,
it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we push those, you know, for example, we push Dominator to keep innovating the product. And, you know, if we keep pushing the brand, it's like, okay, yeah, we're not going to carry everything from them. I mean, they have, like you said in the intro, they have how many different SKUs, you know,
it's like crazy
to carry everything is, you know, it's hard, but it's like, okay, they have it, you know, and I might say, hey, I don't see a need for it. And like you said, the people don't always want same things. You know, I'll bring something in and it doesn't sell very well, but for you guys, you might sell it really well. And it's like, well, it doesn't sell for me. I don't want to carry it because it's just going to sit on the shelf. Or you guys are like, well, man, I could 100 cases, no problem. They're flying out the door. And it's like, well, your customer base is different, but it's promoting the same thing. So,
right. Exactly. Exactly. In the end, we all should just make money from it and profit and just go home happy. So.
And there we go, guys. We got the pyros helping pyros talk there tonight. So absolutely, guys. Hey, it's been a week 13, episode 13. I want to thank Marcus for coming on and joining us on this episode of Pyro Unleashed. And in the meantime, until you catch us next week, go out and unleash your inner pyro.
This has been another episode of Pyro Unleashed. Come back each week for more industry insights, technical tips, and awesome pyro designs. Have fun out there, be safe, and as always, remember to unleash your inner pyro with us.